Tell me what happened with you and your father. How did this experience occur? What happened?
Well, it was 1992, and my father was a smoker. He'd been smoking since he was a navigator in World War II and was so nervous flying all those missions, he started smoking and then never quit. And anyway, he was hospitalized, and I was called to come down to, I was living up on a little island called Vashon Island off of West Seattle, and he lived down in the L.A. area. So I was called to come down because it, you know, he was dying. And the truth is, right before that happened, I was so mad at him for smoking still that I wasn't even going to come down because I didn't believe it was serious. He'd been in and out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I got into the shower, and I heard this voice that said, "This is it. Go." And so I did. And what happened after that was so dramatic, it eclipsed having heard that voice. But 3 days after he died, I woke up very early, far earlier than I normally do, and I had all this energy, and I was embarrassed because I should have been, you know, in deep grief, and I was just kind of euphoric. And so I reinstated an Alaska fishing assignment that I had canceled thinking I would be useless. And there was one seat left on Alaska Airlines going up to Juneau. And so I'm driving by myself. It was late May, again, 1992. Beautiful, clear blue sky, no clouds. People think I saw something in the clouds. It wasn't in the clouds. It was a plane of blue, right, like a movie screen. And I happened to look up. It was right about 12:30 in the afternoon. And I saw this, now I call it a holographic projection of my father's face. And it was filling the entire sky above me. And it was, you know, made of, it was Technicolor and 3D. And he was beaming with a superhuman joy.
And this is while you're driving. While you're driving, Jessica, you're looking at this?
Yeah, I just looked up and there it was. And it was right above me, so I didn't have to, I just looked up, you know, I didn't have to, like, take my eyes off the road much. It was right ahead of me.
Right.
And it was weird because, again, I wasn't a seeker. I hadn't read all the books of fabulous library that, you know, exists for us if we want to turn to it. And I didn't know any of anything about this, but I did know at that moment that this was kind of a message, and he was saying, you know, "I'm okay, sweetie, the death is okay, you know, don't worry." And nonetheless, when you're not in familiar with this realm, you don't want to tell anyone because you're afraid they'll think you're crazy.
You're nuts. What's happened to Jessica?
And so I wasn't going to tell anybody, and then I get up to Juneau, Alaska, and my sister, who lived 1,000 miles away in Southern California where we grew up, she calls me, and she says, "Jessica, this is the most amazing day of my life. I saw Daddy in a vision."
And I stopped her.
I stopped her because I come out of a natural science background, and I wanted to be scientific. And I said, "Valerie, wait a minute. Don't say anything else. By chance, were you driving, and did you see his face in the sky?" And, of course, it's exactly what she saw, too.
How strange.
Well, then you're stuck. You have a witness. Yeah.
Now, how did the image dissipate?
Well, you know, I got on the ferry, and now, that's a very good question. It just kind of faded, you know, but it didn't go, you know.
What was the look on his face?
Okay, picture your own father or your own mother's face that you know as well as you know any face, and a kind of a smile and a radiating, beatific joy that is beyond human, even the happiest moment. You just don't.
And no look, Jessica, that would have given you the impression that something was wrong or something.
No,
bad.
Oh, no. Nothing. And it's not just what it looked like. Should I call you Mr. Norrie or George?
Mr. Norrie would be fine.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Well, I like Mr. Norrie.
Nobody calls me Mr. Norrie.
Well, then I will. I shall.
Oh, you call me George.
So, the thing is not just how these light beings or light emanations look. It's how you feel in their presence. And, I mean, I already was feeling it before I even woke up, but I didn't know. I didn't know why. But it's just out of, you know, beyond the little wimpy words we have to try to describe these sorts of feelings.
Now, I'm curious, Jessica, to see what you and your sister continued mm-hmm. to talk about, because you both saw this apparition, this image.
Well, we've talked about it a lot, but it's just part of our little private, you know, it's our private miracle, except now I've written about it for millions of people to read.
It's not, yeah, not, it's not private
yeah,
anymore.
Not anymore. But I actually wrote about it in, I had a column in Audubon Magazine, a conservation column in the, oh, most of the 90s. And I was writing about, he was from New Zealand, our father, and he gave us the great outdoors. My mother gave us culture and art and education and everything, but he gave us the great outdoors.
Sure.
And so I wrote a column for Father's Day, the Father's Day issue, and I talked about seeing his face. And, the editor kind of freaked out and was afraid to run it because it had the paranormal aspect to it.
Hmm.
And so he ran it anyway. I think somebody talked him into it, and they got the most wonderful letters. And what I've learned already with Roll Around Heaven, only having been out 3 months now, is that, and I mean, you live and breathe this, so you know this, but I didn't. And once you open the dialogue, everybody's had these sorts of experiences.
Oh, it's massive, isn't it?
Yeah. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is because if a spiritual dodo brain can end up what I call rolling around heaven, anybody can. And I really truly know that we're all mystics on a very mystical planet. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, after this experience, mm-hmm. what did it do for you? What did it do for your sister?
Well, it took away any grief pretty much in an instant about my father. And I think that's very interesting because, you know, you can have that sort of experience, but you still remember someone and miss certain things about them. And it kind of catapulted me onto a different plane about loss and death. And then in Roll Around Heaven, toward the end of the book, in 2004, my mother dies, and before she dies, I flat out tell her, you know, I'm a seer, I can see these things, so you better come visit me. So, you know, it let us handle loss far more easily than I think we would have had we not had that experience.